fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk today about what the church describes as the ultimate trial. It's taken from the Catechism. It fits right into this reflection we're walking through in this season of Advent together, looking at the coming of the Lord and the return of the Lord and everything that kind of happens in between that. It's just such a glorious time of the church year. It is a time of readiness. The church is trying to stir us to be awake, to be alert, to be clear-headed, to turn the light on, to keep our lamps burning. That disposition of a disciple that's really difficult to maintain in a world that is so busy with so many distractions, and a world that's really set on producing comfort and pleasure galore, for a world that's marketing to try to convince us to be focused mainly on the here and now, and not to think too much about eternity or to prepare for eternity and our eternal destiny. But instead, all the focus is on the here and the now and getting everything we can get here and now. That somehow is the goal and purpose of life. So as a disciple, if we're going to live with a renewed mind and hear the exhortations of the Lord and of the apostles and the saints and say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is a renewed mind? A renewed mind is a mind touched by the Holy Spirit. It's awake to the reality of who God is, the absolute seriousness of who we are before God, what we were made for, what we're called to be, how we're called to live. A renewed mind has a new way of calculating what is really valuable. And we no longer put secondary or tertiary things first. We put first things first. So Jesus said so clearly, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything else will be added unto you. The world says, no, seek first the gold. Seek first what we have to offer. Otherwise, nothing's going to work for you. So we radically pursue the goals of this world and push God to the margins, which is a really big mistake. And so this season of Advent is a time to help us remember, who are you? Who is God? Where have you come from? What does God, your creator, call you to? What are the heights to which you have been called? What's the amazing work that he's done in you? What is he offering? Maybe to some who are listening, saying, look, I don't know anything about Jesus. Well, listen up, because he has so much in store for you. You're made for so much more than what this world can deliver. Well, one of the things the church wants us to understand, taking up again the teaching of Jesus, is that before the Lord returns, certain things are going to happen. And one of the things that's going to happen is just before the return of Jesus, a great trial is going to come upon the church. And the church is going to be persecuted at a very high level. And because of the pressures of the world, the work of the enemy, the seduction of the powers of the world, many people who are baptized are going to turn away from the faith. They're going to drift with the culture and become apostates, really enemies of God, which is really shocking when you think about it. But let's listen to what the Catechism has to say about it. Paragraph 675. Before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth, now think about the trial our brothers and sisters in the Middle East have gone through. Think about those men and women who were martyred, beheaded because of their faith in Christ. Think about all the martyrs and those killed in South Sudan. You know that over the last 30 years, over 2 million people have been killed in South Sudan, and many of them because of their religious belief, and many of them were Catholics. We live in a very comfy, cozy, secure place here in America, relatively speaking. We don't know that kind of opposition, struggle, and martyrdom. And throughout the church's history, the 20th century was said to be, you know, the age of the martyrs in a certain way. More people were martyred during that century than any other time in the history of the church, and it continues today. So This is not a fantasy that the church is, the catechism is talking about here. It says the persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. So what the catechism is referring to is, you might say, the enemy, Satan's final assault on the church to seduce as many people to turn from Christ as king and to deny him and to follow the kingdom of darkness. Now, what the catechism is saying here is that the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of evil, is going to be revealed. The mystery of evil is something that everyone knows instinctively that's present in the world. Wars just keep on happening. Babies just keep getting killed by the tens of millions around the world. Euthanasia, drug addiction, broken families, prisons bursting at the seams, sickness, disease, spiritual counterfeits. We know there's evil in the world. It has a source. And the source is Satan and the kingdom of the enemy and a fallen world. And the attack on the church continues through history. That's part of the mystery, that evil continues. Even though the ultimate battle over it has been won in Christ on the cross, the final victory. I mean, Satan's power, his ultimate power, has been broken by Christ on the cross through his sacrifice. But until the Lord returns, Satan is still about tempting the church, seducing people, and he's seeking to devour, as St. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The mystery of evil, then, it says, will be presented in a way, in a form, before the Lord returns, of a religious deception. Satan is going to offer a different, quote-unquote, spiritual pathway. He's going to somehow, in working through the Antichrist, a figure that's going to emerge in history, Satan working through him, this figure is going to rise and have amazing influence in the world. He's going to bring about peace in a world that's in serious conflict. He's going to look like he's the answer. Everybody's going to rally around him. Huge numbers of people are going to rally around him, not everybody. And large numbers of people from the church are going to follow him. But where he's going to lead is an apparent peace. He's going to bring apparent hope. But in the end, what he's going to promise, what he's going to give, is only going to be able to be received if you deny Christ, if you turn away from the claims of Christ and turn away from his church. So again, the persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth about God. He's the truth about man. He is the truth. But the religious deception will lead people to deny Christ, have the form of religion, but not its power, not its truth. Then it goes on. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. The Antichrist will rise. He'll convince the human race that we have everything we need on our own resources. We're the answer to any problems that we have. We don't need to look to some God. And it's a false Messiah, a false Savior, because it doesn't deal with the fundamental source, the problem of the human race. It's a lie. The fundamental problem of the human race and the source of all its sickness and disease and corruption and problems is the sin problem. The sin problem which produces all the disorder and ultimately leads to being under the power of a disordered energy called death, which dominates and rules the human race. That's what we need to be freed from. and only Christ can do it. He's the only Savior of the world. Paragraph 676 says, the Antichrist deception already begins to take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history that messianic hope which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment. Again, big word, eschatological, the return of the Lord. The eschatological judgment is the return of Jesus. He will come in glory again to judge the living and the dead. Final judgment about what's right, what's real, what's true, what's just is in the hands of Jesus Christ. All authority and power belong to him. And any time a worldview, a set of values, an opinion, a person tries to say everything can be realized in history, and it all depends on us. There is no God. This is an interesting time in the world as the West becomes ever more secularized. One of the things that the quote-unquote elites constantly push forward is that for man to reach his potential, we've got to get rid of the God thing, the myth of God. It's a distraction. It's a stupid projection of man and his insecurity and instability, projecting a loving God in heaven, which he worships as his own creation because he can't deal with reality. And the secularists are like, no, 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 here, it's time to get rid of that infantile, insecure approach to reality. We have the answer. The answer is in our technology. The answer is in our own mind. It's in education. It's in our money. It's in our power. It's in our own design. So the Catechism is saying, whenever God is marginalized and diminished, and man becomes the center and the source of his own hope, you're battling with an Antichrist spirit. That's what's going on. So the church has rejected even modified forms of this falsification of the kingdom to come under the name of millenarianism, especially the intrinsically perverse political form of a secular messianism that, again, this can all happen, and it's only going to happen when the religious perspective, when the perspective of God, when revelation, when that all gets pushed completely out of the picture. That's where man's hope lies. That's the great lie. It's a kind of Antichrist spirit in the world. And you see it in things like the utopian ideal that's present, especially in the secular left, in saying that all of history is, we keep progressing. Things are getting better and better, and our hope is in progress, which is kind of crazy because it doesn't look like we're progressing. I mean, the 20th century, clearly, the century of wars, the century, you know, the Holocaust, great world wars. We see all the corruption and disorder, the confusion of that's unfolding now, and family and the rest. This isn't progress, friends. And people put hope in something because they're made to hope in something, and they put their hope in earthly designs and reject God. And it will never be enough. It will never be enough. It's important for us to see it. Here's why Advent is so important. It's time to wake up, to be alert, to be spiritually alive. It's important because we have responsibility before God for our lives and what he's given us to do in this world. And the church is urging us not to miss the grace of the moment, so we won't miss what we've been called to do and to be. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.